Welcome back to This Green Earth, a weekly talk show on environmental issues and concepts of sustainability. I'm Chris Cherniak.
I'm Nell Larson.
And joining us in studio is Jana Richman. She's a writer and author of a most recent book of essays entitled Finding Stillness in a Noisy World. And we certainly had an example of a very noisy world in our with our first guest when we were talking about the wildfires sweeping through the West and why they're happening, with greater intensity and size and duration, what climate change might be playing a role in all that. And it can be very, very nerve-wracking living in a wildfire-based world, Jana. But I just wanted to give you that little introduction into perhaps you've written about or can talk about how that as an example of conditions that we're undergoing here with our environment and the damage it does to our ecosystems, and how we find stillness at times to address situations like that.
Well, that is a good example, and thank you for inviting me here. It is a good example of kind of the chaos we're living in right now, and how do we individually find a place of peace, find a place of stillness? And that's what this collection of essays is about. At various points in my life, often at the end of one writing project and transitioning to another, I find myself kind of at loose ends and looking for a way back in. Writers need a lot of quiet. They need a lot of stillness and looking for a way back into that. And each time I reach that pinnacle, seems like the world has gotten noisier and there's more chaos. And it's not just verbal kind of noise, but psychic noise and everything that impacts us. So I had such a hard time re-entering my writing world at the end of my last book that I kind of wrote my way back in. And that's what this collection of essays is.
Would you highlight one of your essays to give us a feel for what we might find in the book?
Sure. I mean, do you want me to read from one?
Or sure.
Do you want me to just talk about in general? Let me read a little bit.
Okay.
Great.
So this essay is called A Desert Beyond Fear. And this is an essay about the impact that I've always had a bit of anxiety, but I think anxiety is very common in our world right now, and I think it seems to be increasing among all of us. And so this is kind of an essay that I wrote about how to kind of deal with that.
Okay.
And this essay was initially published in the New York Times. This is called The Desert Beyond Fear, and it starts with a quote by Bertrand Russell. Fear is the main source of superstition and one of the main sources of cruelty. To conquer fear is the beginning of wisdom. And I will pause there for a moment and say that also all of these essays, they play with the idea of how our external landscape impacts our internal landscape and how we can use that to our benefit.
Okay.
On a cold, sunny day, my husband and I layered up and took ourselves out to our backyard, Grand Staircase, Escalante National Monument. For a few days, we had been spiraling downward through a series of miscommunications and tensions, the culmination of my rigorous dedication to fear, or what Bertrand Russell aptly coined, the tyranny of the habit of fear. A fresh storm had dropped 10 inches of snow with little moisture, giving the snow an airy, crystallized texture that sprayed out in an arc with each footstep and made a shushing sound as if it were speaking directly to me. Shush, shush, shush. Moving into the elegant world of white-draped red rock is usually enough to strip our minds of the qualms that harass us. But on this day, Steve and I both stomped into the desert, bearing a commitment to hang on to the somber roles we had adopted. Solemnity is difficult, however, when one is tumbling down hills of snow-covered deep sand and skidding off steep angles of slick rock on one's backside. Still, it took a good half mile before we were convinced of our absurdity. Such is the nature of the desert. If you persist in your gravity, the desert will take full advantage. It will have you falling over yourself as you trudge along, carrying your blame and angst and fear. It will mock you until you literally and figuratively lighten up and conform to the place. The place will never conform to you. We knew that. That's why we went. That's why we always go to the desert when we're stuck in a cycle of self-induced wretchedness.
That's Jana Richman reading from her recent book of essays, Finding Stillness in a Noisy World. So you're from originally from Escalante.
I'm originally from Tooele, Utah.
Okay. But you live in, do you live in
Escalante? We live in Escalante now. Moved there about 10 years ago.
Okay. So speaking of anxiety and fear, the recent changes made to Grand Staircase Escalante mm-hmm. National Monument, what was your reaction and how do you address that anxiety and fear with respect to those changes?
Yeah, it's my reaction is all over the place. Yeah. You know, it's sadness, it's rage, it's and then kind of settling into a place saying, okay, what can I do? What can't I do? How do I handle this personally? And how do I handle this as a public person,
as part of a collective,
a citizen
yeah.
of that place and a citizen of the state and a citizen of the nation.
Your piece that you just read, I think, had some sentiments that I think probably all of us that live here can relate to, that feeling of when you're down or you're struggling with something, getting out and getting away from whatever it is, your home, your computer screen, and getting out into nature brings that sense of peace. And I think, I don't know, I think that's probably why so many of us live here.
I think it is too. And I think that one thing that I've addressed in this is I think it gets harder and harder to find. You know, I mean, I've been here most of my life. I did leave for 3 or 4 years, but I've been here most of my life. And Park City is a perfect example of how just walking out your door and finding that place of peace isn't as easy as it used to be, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it gets harder and harder to find, and I think that's true all over the world. So you not only have to get out into it and try to find those big, empty, wild spaces, which I think are essential to us as humans, mm-hmm. But you also have to bring it into you, right? You also have to bring it back to you.
That's the hard part.
That's the hard part. Yeah, and it gets more challenging every day because we're hit. It's a barrage of information, mm-hmm. whether we want it or not.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You've written other books, novels, and nonfiction. Obviously, like I said, this is an environmental-based book. You grew up in Tooele. You've lived in Utah all your life. Were you an environmentalist all your life, or was there perhaps a moment as you were growing up that you recognized the connection to the environment and the importance of having a connection to nature?
Yeah, I think there was an evolution yeah. in me where I didn't grow up. I'm the daughter of a Utah rancher, so I didn't grow up with this idea of environmentalism, and I certainly do call myself an environmentalist at this stage, and all of my books have dealt with that issue in some way. My first novel was about the nerve gas spill out in the West Desert mm-hmm. in the 1960s, and my second novel was about the water issues in the West Desert and Nevada's idea for a pipeline to Las Vegas. So I have moved toward that, but yeah, growing up, I can't say I had an awareness of it. I don't think we did. My mother worked for the federal government. My father was a rancher and a school teacher. And I don't think I had aware. I don't even think I was aware that I lived in a desert. I never thought of it as the arid West. And that's essential that we all understand that we
right.
live in the arid West, those of us who live here.
Right, because Nell and I are from back east. So we came to being environmentalists in different ways, different manners.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say it again. I grew up in New Jersey, so I grew up surrounded by the consequences of not taking care of the environment. And that's how I became an environmentalist, by seeing one Superfund site after another showing up in my newspaper and then wanting to do something about it. It wasn't necessarily being surrounded by the beauty of nature, but it was being surrounded by the consequences of not taking care of nature. That's how I became an environmentalist. I like to think maybe Nell grew up in the Adirondacks, so right. surrounded by the beauty
the opposite,
of just
yeah.
the opposite. And many people out here are surrounded by the beauty and take on an environmental ethos because they want to protect and care for it
sure.
and preserve it.
Yeah, I think I took it for granted for a long time
okay.
until I started to see the changes and the destruction. I think growing up here, I took it for granted.
Right.
And having that family ranch, having that connection, I mean, ranchers are stewards of their land. And so you probably grew up with that as well, assuming doesn't everybody want to do what they can to take care of the place around them, right?
Sure. And that started – that was – the interesting juxtaposition of that is that I am adamantly against grazing on public lands mm-hmm. now because I've seen – a lot of destruction, and I mm-hmm. haven't seen a lot of caretaking mm-hmm. of that. So that is kind of that was a big evolutionary step for me. I didn't grow up thinking that.
And can you give us an example of what that destruction takes the form of?
Well, I think I didn't really see it clearly. I had two kind of pivotal moments. I mean, one was moving to Escalante. Which I don't think is suited for public grazing at all.
Hmm.
It's just not a landscape that's suited for that. And another period in my life was when I went to the north rim of the Grand Canyon and camped for a while. But crossing over the cattle guard from grazed land into land that was not grazed, and seeing the difference was startling.
Hmm.
The grasses and the health of the land was startling to me. And I had never seen it right next,
side by side.
I had never seen it like that, quite like that before. It was a real eye-opening experience for me.
We're speaking with Jana Richmond, and she's a writer and author of the most recent book of essays, Finding Stillness in a Noisy World. Just a few more minutes. You'll be giving a talk down at Weller Book Works this Thursday?
Yes,
correct?
Thursday at 6:30 p.m. I'm hoping it's more of a discussion than me talking. Yeah.
Those are always better. Yeah.
I'll do a bit of a reading, but I'm hoping that people come with ideas and are ready for a discussion.
And is this something that people need to register for? Is it ticketed? Anything like
that? No, it's free and open to the public.
Fantastic. Mm-hmm.
So,
yes.
I was just going to ask, where else can people find your book here locally or online?
You should be able to find it in all of your local independent bookstores. That's what I
Wonderful.
Would encourage. And if not, they can certainly order it for you. So that's where I would go first. And even if you want to go online, I would go to IndieBound online to get it, support your local
stores.
Great
site.
And always curious about the writing, the act of writing. A typical essay might be a few thousand words.
Mm-hmm.
What is the process for you in writing? Are you actually outdoors writing? Is it give us a little sense of the act of writing?
That's a very good question. I have a little on the back of my property. I have not quite an acre city lot in Escalante, and at the very back end, I have what I call my writing shed.
Okay,
and I go out there and isolate myself, and I can't get internet out there, which is great. But I do spend a lot of time outdoors, and I do spend a lot of time taking notebooks with me and thinking about it. But always go back and write there. But the act of writing to me is a process that I mean, sometimes I'll work on an essay for a year, and it will go through 15 revisions.
Wow.
So I'll have three or four going at once, but it's very much a process, and I think every writer's process is different.
So these essays have a life of themselves in a sense, or almost organic, like nature itself. And maybe I'm always curious. Some writers read essays like, oh, you know, once it's printed, it's one thing, but it's like, oh, you know what? I forgot to mention it or that. You know, there's an organic nature to writing.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I do think that I backpack a lot, and I think the backpacking feeds the writing, and the writing forces me to get out there and do more backpacking and hiking. Yeah.
Well, again, the title of the book is Finding Stillness in a Noisy World. And like you say, that's noisy. That can be auditory or visual.
Psychic,
it's spiritual, etc.
Absolutely.
And the author is Jana Richman. And again, Jana will be appearing down in Weller Book Works down in Salt Lake City this Thursday, the 16th, starting at 6:30.
Yes.
It's free and open, and she'll have copies of the book there that you can buy.
Yes, Jana, absolutely.
Thank you so much. Oh, do you have a website?
I do have a website,
right.
JanaRichman.com.
Jana, J-A-N-A, Richman.com. Go read more of her writings there.
Yes, you can read an example of the essays and also find out more about the book.
Perfect.
Well, thanks for sharing your reading with us today.
Thank you so much for having me here.
Oh, our pleasure. Fun. Let's take a break for an underwriter or two, and when we come back, we got a news item or two to cover. It's This Green Earth.